Even casual observers of the headlines today are becoming alarmed at the glaring inconsistencies and, in many cases, the outright lies that the media and government alike are expecting people to believe and accept. In this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio, I talk with my friend Chris Bauckham about some of those items in the news today and what we need to know, and most importantly, what we need to do. Stay tuned.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can find us on a number of different platforms. TalkAmericaRadio.us, TalkAmericaRadio.us, or on Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m., Sunday mornings at 7 a.m., that's Eastern Standard Time. We're on Brandon House's Worldview Weekend Radio. You'll have to check that website for times and days. We are on Global Star Radio Network, GSRadio.net, and that is Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chris Bauckham, my friend, welcome back to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here. And what an exciting week we have already in the news. And there is much to go over.
Isn't that the truth? When you think you've seen it all, you're wrong. You haven't seen it all.
I would agree with that.
Amazed at what's going on in the news today. Let's start, Chris, with what's going on with you, though, before we jump into all these topics. And I know there are probably a half a dozen or more we want to touch on today. But what's going on with you? I know that you and Ross and Remnant Radio taking a break for the foreseeable future. So what's happening with you?
Yeah, so lately, Ross and I have been working on a something that was a bit of a divine calling. It's a dog training online. Believe it or not, people can do it at home. And that developed out of a need for preparedness. And so something akin to a military or police dog type of training for people at home that want to secure their perimeter and not necessarily have to use weapons or firearms, but you can, still have those on hand. It is your right. So that has been kind of burning the candle at both ends. Now, in terms of Remnant Radio Network, we were feeling like things were going along pretty good there, and folks were listening, and we had good regular listenership. However, the news kind of continued to pummel us, and I'm a content guy. That's part of my background, and keeping up with what's going on almost overwhelms the soul. Both from a spiritual perspective and just a logistical, entryway into every week and getting prepared for the show. And so as it began to burn us down, the passion was fading a bit. And we said, hey, let's take a break. Let's spend some time with Jesus. Let's dig a little deeper in our spiritual lives, the Bible, understanding. And when we return, we're going to share a message that is more about our Christian beliefs, all that we share, and how that relates to how you live your life, and on a deeper level, a better understanding of the Holy Bible and God's Word, because it's not always, you know, read one verse, next verse, next verse. It's oftentimes moved around within the text of the entire set of books. And to understand that really takes a lifetime, but we feel it's really important to jump in there and start doing that, especially with the times we're living in.
Yes, amen, amen. And I think that that ministry that you're talking about, being able to do that online, is that, and I may get the name backwards or wrong, so correct me, Chris, is it 360K9?
Yeah, the website is remnantk930.com.
Yes.
And we've built out the site and built out all the training videos. And when we initially offered this, we did put it on Remnant Radio Network. The cost of it was, an upfront payment, but now we've designed it to be installment payments because that seems to be a better setup for most people that are interested. Maybe they want to just put their toe in the water. And this gives them a chance to do that. And it also gives us a chance to fund getting back into podcasting. As you know, there's a cost involved in being out here, and we weren't making any money doing what we were doing.
Right.
We were simply doing it from our hearts because we feel we were called to reach other people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fact, Chris. We do not do this for the money. If that was the case, then, well, there simply wouldn't be any podcasting, would there?
That's correct. I can go with that.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get into some of the news items that come across your desk, got your attention recently, and I've got a couple that I want to throw out there to chat about briefly. And really what I want to do is to get our listeners engaged in doing their own research. One of the things that folks need to understand is that we don't claim to be experts. I certainly don't claim to be an expert on most of the things that I talk about on Soaring Eagle Radio. I do my research and study and become as informed as I possibly can. But that's the challenge for listeners, isn't it, Chris? We present this information. We give a perspective, certainly a biblically based perspective, but we're really trying to encourage folks that listen to us to do the research for themselves and come to conclusions themselves and not just buy hook, line, and sinker something that we might say.
That's correct. We have our resources that we dig in on, and you know, having been in the content sector of online marketing, I have to keep those things organized by the thousands. And oftentimes it's hard to look at everything that's going on. So you find some hot spots where you can find good news consistently, but nothing that other people listening can't get into. I have a neighbor who I admire, I respect a lot, especially his devotion to Jesus Christ and his knowledge of the Bible and some of world events. The reason I share this is because oftentimes we'll debate about whether one should even focus on the news. Mm. It would be better just to stick with biblical study. And I often say, I think you need to know both of them. I don't think that they're independent of one another. In fact, the news, sometimes it's fake, but a lot of times it's reporting things that you can tie right into your Bible, whether it's how you deal with things that you see or actual events going on that were predicted. And we never know if these are the events that were predicted. It's just that there's an abundance of occurrence that would lead us in that direction. And so we're not prophets. We're not soothsayers. We don't have all the information, and we're certainly not experts, but we do our best to try to get that stuff out there and then throw our view in and, you know, look for people to respond and engage. And oftentimes we don't get the engagement we're looking for, but we know that people are listening because we can see what's going on in the background.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. That's right. We do expect folks to follow up on their own. And that's a point that I try to make all the time. In fact, I make this statement from the pulpit as I'm teaching, and some would say preaching. You don't have to believe a word I say. You have a Bible right there in your hands. You can check out anything that I say and the conclusions that I come to. Are they biblically based and rooted? Do you see those principles in the scriptures? So don't sit there and be spoon-fed at your churches, folks. You may really like your pastor. He indeed may be a very good man, but he is fallible like the rest of us. So just don't sit there and take everything in and think that he's infallible, because no one on the face of this earth is infallible. Only the Lord Jesus was, and we await his return, don't we, Chris?
We do, and I would add to what you just said, Mike. I think it's important that, you know, when you're living the Christian life, you're walking in these footsteps, to always seek guidance in your interpretation of the news. And yes, and I firmly believe, and I don't know that this is true, but I firmly believe that if you have something that you truly care about or you want to understand, you have that prayer quietly. You don't do it out loud where the devil can listen in on it. So, because he will mislead you if you're not sound. Mm-hmm. And so I always believe in that. But anyhow.
Yeah. Yep. So what's going on in the news that has drawn your attention that you're currently looking at, Chris?
Well, where do we start? I was just reading some breaking news out of the Canary Islands. A volcano is active, and they've got 40 earthquakes in the last 48 hours. And the prediction is, if this eruption were to happen, it were to throw this the top of this volcano west into the ocean, a tsunami, I don't know, 90 to 160 foot waves could rush in about 12 miles inland over the East Coast. So once again, we don't know if these things are going to happen. But when you see that on top of all of the other news we've seen with the earthquake swarms out in Yellowstone, which now they're writing off and saying they're dying down, you see these swarms around the Ring of Fire, you see signs, you see things going on. And I heard somebody publish something, I don't know, it was another one of these, I don't know if it's a phony prophet, but about the, you know, what could happen, a comet hitting the earth and all this. I don't get tied up in too much of that. But but topically speaking, there is... I'm just going to hit the topics, and then we'll talk about the news points or whatever you want to do,
sure,
Mike.
Sure.
There's tyranny happening in the world.
Yes.
There's satanic Luciferian activity happening around the world. There's a lot going on with Trump and geopolitics. Mm-hmm. We've also got this ongoing, unfolding Vegas shooting, really investigative debacle, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting what's being, you know, hidden or moved around. Then we've got the war with North Korea and what's happening in the Middle East with the trifectate. You've got Iraq, Iran, and I believe Turkey have teamed up to block Kurdistan from exporting their oil. And that's setting up some unlikely bedfellows with Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the United States, which could result in some conflict. There's a lot of technology that's happening that is going to play into all of these. And then there's things going on with how, as you wanted to bring up today, I believe, the misappropriation of funds and how some organizations are using them to help immigration, but really doing probably more damage in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is a mouthful all at once. Yeah, well, let me jump in there then and just bring this up. You touched on Vegas. That's one of the most interesting pieces for me personally, because there is so much evidence now that is available for public consumption that indicates that there is no way, it is impossible, that one man committed this heinous, murderous shooting spree. It's just impossible. One article that came across my desk today was from Natural News, and I don't know if anybody checks out Natural News. I would recommend that you do, naturalnews.com. They did a forensic acoustic analysis of the shooting, and the analysis indicates that there was at least one other shooter. And now, Chris, I've seen reports and people doing analysis and videos and whatnot that there could have been more than two, and perhaps there were two on the ground as well as two in the actual hotel. Now, I don't know if you've heard that too, but the point is this: there were multiple shooters that committed this crime. And what is frustrating for me, as well as many others, is that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies that are involved in the investigation are refusing to release any information, refusing to acknowledge any of this information and research that's now out in the public domain. Most of it, from what I've read and looked at, Chris, is irrefutable. It's presented raw data as facts and very, very convincing. And here we are a couple of weeks out, and still no conclusions from law enforcement. That's, to me, that is a red flag that they're in a panic mode of trying to cover this up and invent a cover story that people will accept. And I think what they realize is people aren't going to accept whatever they say if it isn't the truth. What do you think?
You know, I agree. On the Monday following the shooting, 4chan put something out that talked about the potential for ISIS being involved, and this was part of the kind of fast and furious gun supply, and that this guy was what is his name, Stephen Paddock. This guy was actually shot and killed well before the gunfire started on the population. Now, I don't know if any of that's true. That sounds like it could be a little shaky, but but we did find out that the security guard was shot 6 minutes before gunfire erupted on the people down below. And I find a lot of this inconsistent. Now, I'm not an investigator. I'm following my resources, and I don't have inside resources. They're public. You can get them too. But we do see a lot of inconsistencies. What you've mentioned a couple, the acoustics on there, the multiple windows that were busted out. Yeah. There are others, like the fact that it's a casino and you're in a casino city and there are more cameras there than there are anywhere else on earth.
Yes.
Yet we can't seem to find anybody with footage that reveals this, that's clear. Yes, it's something's happening. I know within a very short time of the investigation starting that the FBI took over. And what it feels like to me, Mike, is that the government is still layered with so much so many nefarious characters that they're willing to do anything to keep the public from finding out the truth. And this concerns me because there are other factors involved here, like the fact that the CEO of MGM Grand, which owns Mandalay Bay Casino Hotel, sold off his MGM stock in the weeks before the attack. And then we find out that George Soros, his investment fund, bought puts on 1.35 million MGM stocks 60 or so days before the attack at MGM Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Mm. And this is just all very, very odd that we've seen this happen before major terrorist attacks, if you want to call it a terrorist attack, that somebody might actually know and invest in something that is clearly going down, and why that specific company or industry did that person invest in it falling down? What other indicators were they running off of? Because they don't bet on things they don't know.
That's right.
Are going to either go up or down. These people are on the inside and they control the. So what this feels like to me is it feels like a ploy for gun control. I mean, it just reeks of gun control. And the worst part, and I'll kind of wrap up my long expose here, is that you got to understand whoever initiated this, and they're going to say it was this one guy, okay? And we can speculate all we want, but you fired on a bunch of people down below that were country Western fans, maybe Christians, maybe Trump voters, but almost certainly a bunch of them were gun owners. And the people that are affected by this emotionally are gun owners. So they know what they're looking at and what they're listening to. So this is going to be a hard population of people to fool at this point.
Yeah. Very, very good points, Chris. And that's why I'm waiting anxiously for what the official story is. I don't expect it anytime soon. I could be wrong. It could come out, but I don't expect it to have any stamina to it. I think they're probably trying to figure out, okay, what can we release that is believable, plausible. I think they're coming up with zeros, because the evidence is already out there. And that's one of the great things about technology. There are many downsides to it, of course, but one of the great things is that information can be shared around the world in a matter of minutes. And there are just too many people with too many cameras, too many ways to record and gather and disseminate information for a government, even like ours, that seems to be intent on covering up evil, perpetrating evil and covering it up. Even for a government like ours, there's just too many independent, if we could call them journalists, perhaps not a good descriptor, but too many people that are willing to gather information and share it with their friends all over social media for them to come up with a story that's going to stick. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they have to say. But as I've said in many other cases and in many other issues, Chris, when evil becomes so arrogant that it doesn't care whether you understand what they're doing or not, then they're just going to throw something against the wall, and they don't care if it sticks or not. And that's a pretty dangerous time to live in. And when we've got folks that are pulling the strings that are just consumed with evil intent, isn't it?
It certainly feels that way. And again, all the things that I mentioned prior are, I don't know if they're coincidence, but they're certainly fishy.
Yes.
You know, and it just, again, I don't know what they're up to or if they're up to anything, but they're certainly not revealing a lot. And in my opinion, you've got a large contingency of people that are losing power right now. We know who those people are by political label. We know who those people are by their belief systems or what they say they believe in.
Yes.
And yet, I don't even need to name names. Your listeners already know who these folks are. They're anybody that is against Christianity, just to be against it, and gun ownership. And generally, when this is happening, it is just like the last throes of desperation to strip guns out of the population in hopes that they don't think they're going to collect all the guns. But I think that there is an elite circle that believes if you can get enough of them out of people's hands, then tyranny can take its place, its seat at the table again. And people worldwide are fighting back. I mean, Catalonia is a fine example of what's going on. We saw what happened with the Arab Spring in the Middle East over the course of a decade. We've seen the eruption of violence in some of South America, and we've seen it here on our own streets. And ironically, we've watched, let's see, what was it first? It was the Confederate statues, and then it was the flag. I'm sure there was something before that. And then it was Columbus Day. And well, this attack happened before Columbus Day. And, you know, what's next? I mean, it's like they're going down a list and just picking all the fights that will offend the same people over and over again to the point of exhaustion and just saying, here's my gun. Just go leave me alone.
Yeah. And if that is indeed their angle, if that is the tip of the spear, the agenda that they're trying to work, then I think that they have really underestimated the fight in Americans. And but perhaps I pause for a second to decide whether or not to say it, but I've said it publicly before, Chris. I think that there will be a civil war in America, that people will fight before they will allow our Second Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights to be swallowed up by some kind of totalitarian regime masquerading as a democracy. I think there'll be open conflict as surreal for me to say that as it is. I believe that would happen before there would be a widespread confiscation or giving up of guns. I don't think people will do it. I think that they'll be, it'll get ugly. I'll put it that way. And I have to admit that I would probably be on the side of those that would not give up their guns.
Yeah, I don't think any of us wish to ever have to use our guns in a defense or offensive position for anything. I think, you know, the goal really is to use them only as absolutely needed. Right. And to defend our right to live. That's it.
Right.
However, that Constitution, any law that's written to prevent or slow you down from owning a gun is null and void per the Constitution.
That's right.
If you look at it, you've got Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 1 through 18, which state the powers the federal government has. And they do not include all of these additional gun laws and confiscation. What they really give them the right to do is police immigration. To handle bankruptcies with financial institutions, and to change the units of measure for weights and things like that. So
that's right.
They don't have quite the levity that they give themselves. And I think that they're just banking on either holding off the public from this war while they prepare themselves because they know it's inevitable, or they're really trying to turn the tables at this point. And, you know, Trump, for all the people that don't like him, that guy can smell a rat a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to give him some credit there. He knows how to get people started, and then they just spill it all out and they, go crazy in the public. So I think that I hope that the upcoming midterms in 2018, from what I'm seeing, there are a slew of new candidates that are there to get rid of this establishment. And I am firmly convinced this establishment is trying to hold power. And that's a whole nother topic. I could go into the institutionalized power and what that does to a country. And you could too, I'm certain. But I believe that this is, they're trying to fight this as best they can. And good luck. Bannon's on the outside now, and the country is starting to see things for what it is. So I don't know how much longer they have.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Steve Bannon, because I was reading something today where he just speaks the truth, and he speaks it as frankly as possible. And of course, that ruffles the feathers of those that are captured by political correctness in America. But he put the Republican Party on notice. And the article that I was reading was something to the effect that we are coming for you. And by that, he meant that he's rallying the grassroots, and he's going to challenge every Republican who promised that they were going to support Obamacare repeal and then have done the expedient thing for their own individual careers, which when I say that, I want people to understand that should strike you as oxymoronic. A politician should not have a career. A politician is a civil servant. We send them to Washington or to your state capital, whatever the case might be, to represent your views. But what's happened, and Chris, you know this very well too, what's happened is politicians have crafted their own opinions and viewpoints on all of the issues. And guess what? They're all influenced by PAC money, political action committees, lobbyists, and so on. I've made this point on a number of different occasions. Normally, a congressman, someone goes to Washington as a congressman or a senator. They've been an attorney, a small business owner. They may have a net worth of a couple $100,000, maybe, if they're fortunate. But after a term or two in the Senate or three or four terms in the House of Representatives, all of a sudden this attorney or this small business owner is now a multimillionaire. Now, they didn't get there on the basis of their salaries. So what in the world is going on? Well, I think we all know what's going on, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, it's a guarantee that no matter whether you win or lose, as long as you know how to pull the chains inside the system, when you lose, you win. And when you win even more. It's like the ultimate lottery. You can't buy a losing ticket.
That's right.
And this is a political class. It is, you know, people always talk about our democracy, our free republic. And I appreciate that standpoint. That is uniquely American. Unfortunately, we're not living in a uniquely American experience anymore. We're living in a caste system, a class system that has cut out, it's gutted And, you know, I've heard this on other programs over the past couple of years, talking about the East India Company and how the British Empire ran that and really uprooted India and created this caste system because they turned one another against one another and divided and by that conquered.
Yes.
And we've seen the same thing happening right here in the United States. Makes you wonder if the same families and people aren't behind it with the central bankers, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think you can make an argument they are.
I think you can, and I think you make a really strong argument. And so, you know, when you look at the division that's going on, this has been perpetrated on purpose because 15 years ago, we were getting along. We were talking about harmony. We were moving forward as a nation. Yeah, there was some division over politics, but it was mild in comparison. There wasn't hate to the point of killing.
Right.
There were just a couple of nut jobs out here that would do these things. But what we've seen is almost a brainwashed group of psychotic people that will go in and just cold-heartedly kill as many people as they can. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder what has touched these people's lives. And it's something dramatic that has been man-made.
Yes.
Something has touched these people's lives that has caused them to be cold-blooded mass killers in the public view. I mean, right in front of you.
Yes. Yeah.
They have no fear.
No, that's right. They have no fear. I was talking to Catherine Austin Fitz the other day, Chris, and we were talking about something similar to what you were just elaborating on about folks that seem to be controlled by something beyond themselves. And there is a word for that. It is akin to being brainwashed, propagandized, but there's another word for it. I'm struggling to
MK Ultra.
MK Ultra
and Monarch Programming, which is the modern version, from my understanding.
There it is. Yeah. If I find that later, I'll throw that out there for folks but another good site while I'm thinking about it. So I like to give people resources to go check things out for themselves. So check out Solari.com, Solari.com, Solari.com. I go there for a lot of good information. Catherine is right on target with the things that matter today in the news. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, Chris, but I did want to mention the whole Harvey Weinstein situation, because this is something that I'm trying to figure out the angle on this. And the only thing that I can think of, the only thing that I'm impressed by, is that God must be exposing this. He must be pulling back the curtain for us to see and wanting Christians, the church, to rise up and call this stuff out for what it is. But I don't see it happening. I don't see Christians calling out the pedophiles that are in powerful places. We already know, I think it was Congressman Scalise that was shot and wounded. And of course, his attacker was subsequently shot and killed, of course, so, you know, dead men don't talk, right? But Scalise was an advocate of new and stricter laws and punishments for those convicted of pedophilia. I don't find that to be a coincidence. But my point is this: instead of the church, instead of Christians pushing this and really making a clamor about this, we leave it to other folks. Investigative reporters, I think, are the Hagmans. They have really pushed this hard, this theme, for a long time. I think Liz Croken, she has pushed this theme for a long time. The Honeybee, if folks follow her on Twitter, I would recommend that you do that. There are a lot of other folks that are trying to expose this stuff, but here's my point, because I'm rambling on and on. But Harvey Weinstein has close ties to the Obamas and the Clintons. Now, the Obamas and the Clintons have made a career, a life, out of staying in the news by attacking the least little thing, the least little inconsistency, the vulnerability of their political opponents. And yet, when friends like Harvey Weinstein, and make no mistake, he was a huge supporter of the Obamas and the Clintons, money and notoriety and promotion. When he gets, the boom gets lowered on him, it's crickets from the other side. What do you think about that, Chris?
I would agree with you, Mike. You know, it brings me to a Bible verse, believe it or not. And you were talking about Christians, and that's relevant because I posed the question, what good is revelation if there's no justice? You know, you can uncover the truth, but then now that you see the ugly truth, you're just going to walk away. No. This is a time to see it and do something about it. We're being given a chance to call it out, as you indicated. And I think of Ezekiel 33:6. It says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Now that's the KLV version. But the point being that you're going to be held responsible. I think that verse goes on a little further. Yeah. You're going to be held responsible for not speaking up.
Yeah.
And as part of, and I don't know if it's a lack of spinal integrity that's driving this madness of silence, or if it's the fact that people are so occupied with holding up their standard of living in an ever diminishing inflationary economic environment with stagnant wages, that they're just slaves to their lives. They're basically idolizing their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a minister or preacher or any of that, but I can see the irony here in people not standing up when the revelation is happening in front of you. And I love what Trump has been able to do to the best he could do it. I don't love everything Trump does, but I like a lot of what he does. But I believe that he was sent to this presidency to give us a chance, not Trump himself. God is giving us a chance. He's saying, hey, look, I'm going to put the truth in front of you. I'm going to put a man out here that's bold enough to help bring this forward, and it's up to you. And I do see the fact that Weinstein goes down. Possibly that's how Clinton comes down. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you know, it may not happen. We may usher in the complete domination of the new world order in this global governance and digital currency and the chipping and everything else that's going on. If people don't start standing up, then our sovereignty will be ripped away, our personal sovereignty and our national sovereignty.
Yeah, I think a big, and I agree with what you said there, Chris, concerning people wanting to maintain what they have, fear of losing material things, and that, putting it that way, that should grieve the hearts of folks who are listening and say, well, that's me. And I would encourage you to take a step back and get a different perspective. And I know from a pastor's perspective, Chris, a large part of it is that many pastors are dependent upon their income, their salary that they receive from their fellowship that they pastor. And if they step outside of what they know to be prescribed lines of, shall we say, what's permissible, there are certain topics that some pastors just will not touch because they know it'll upset folks in the congregation. If it upsets folks, they'll leave, and when they leave, they take their money with them. And that's about as frank as I can put it, and that should grieve people's hearts when they hear that. It certainly grieves me to have to say it, but I know it's true. Now, well, how do you address that situation? Well, here's one way to address it, and Pastor, you can go get a job and not depend on the congregation to support you and your family. And I know some pastors are screaming at me right now, saying that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, but I want you to take it to heart. And I've done that for over 20 years, so I know it's possible. Is it a burden? Absolutely, it's a burden. But ministry is a burden. If you're in a situation where ministry is fun and relaxing and you've got time to go out and play golf a couple of times a week or go do your hobbies or this other kind of stuff, then you've got too much time on your hands, brother. And you need to do a reevaluation of what ministry really is and get in the fight. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But I don't want to monopolize this time, Chris, but I have to tell you something. Chatting with you about the news, I'm really enjoying this, and I think we might want to do this a time or two again. Not committing to anything on a regular basis because we've already talked about that. you're needing some downtime and doing some other things, but I think this has a benefit for our listeners if we'll just chat about some of the news items and give some perspective and background to it. What do you think?
No, yeah, I'm up for it. Yeah, cool. If I'm not having to prepare, edit, and deploy the shows, which that was part of my work with Revit, yeah. That's what eats up a bunch yes. of time. Yeah. So I'm sure you know,
folks. Yeah, well, that's very good news. We'll chat about that offline. You had some other things though you wanted to bring up and chat about before we signed off for this episode. What else is going on, Chris?
Yeah, well, you mentioned pastors and the work that they have in front of them. And as I told you prior to the show, I don't trust a pastor that doesn't have a wrinkle. You've got to have some. You maybe a little facial hair, little crow's feet around the eyes. You got to look like Satan's been attacking you, because I know you're doing your job if you are. And one of the things that I talked about, towards the end of our broadcast. With the Remnant Radio was the need for authenticity. And I wrote a big piece on it and shared that with our listeners and the need for authenticity. And we as a people really need to begin to push this issue with those around us, this authenticity. You need to have it. Be who you are, because you don't have a starting, you don't have a baseline for building a Christian footprint in this world. If you don't start with some authenticity, then you're just building an empty tower that's going to fall. So you have to, if a pastor stands up and says what's on his heart and really speaks the truth, yes, people are going to leave and take their money. But you know what God's going to do? God's going to replace them with people that come in and are going to lift that congregation up, not only in spirit and in reach, but financially. Yeah. It's going to be a little painful. Again, you need to look like you've been hit by Satan. But that's part of the deal. And that is just the case. I'm not a pastor again. I don't profess to be, but I can see based on churches I've attended and people I've spoken with over the years, I can see this. We mentioned, other news items that are relevant. And there's one in particular I wanted to share with your listeners. And that was finding out that Planned Parenthood, according to an article I pulled from thedailysignal.com, is targeting baby girls in the womb. And, we're going after pedophiles right now, but the United States technically is not far behind communism in the blood we have on our hands from killing children. Wow. We're up in the 70 million. Okay. So it's not a light issue that we just need to kind of gloss over and say, well, we'll fix that the next election. Last year, Indiana passed a law that banned sex-selective abortion, the killing of unborn babies based on their sex. Yeah. Last week, a federal district judge granted a permanent injunction against that law at Planned Parenthood's request. So that ruling gives these abortionists in Indiana the legal right to kill girl babies just because they're girls. Wow, I feel like we're in China.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, the men over there don't have any women because they wiped a lot of them out in the course of a generation.
Yeah.
This is scary stuff.
Yeah, that is really, it's unimaginable that a judge, someone who's been placed in a position of authority, supposedly based on wisdom, knowledge of the law, of justice, it's been placed in that position, and they make a ruling that says you cannot prohibit the practice of abortion based on sex. That's just remarkable, Chris.
And there's only a handful of states that have laws against it or legislation against it. In other words, this is now the majority of states are like Indiana. So I don't want to come down on Indiana here. I'm pointing out that when you've got all of this sin going on, it's directly against God's will. And the killing of children is number one in my book. Yes. It's number one.
Yeah.
Then you are bringing judgment on yourself. So right now is the revelation and the earth is rumbling. Okay, we've got some volcanoes, some earthquakes, some natural disasters. Okay, maybe he's poking us in the eye just a little bit and saying, "Hey, time to wake up, guys." But I'm getting angry, and you're not listening. And so now, instead of the children dying, it's going to be you. And that to me is the warning here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a very good point. Think about that, folks. What Chris is suggesting here is, listen. If they can strike down laws that prohibit the murder in the womb of unborn female babies, they're already murdering children in the womb for various reasons, Down syndrome, any kind of abnormality that folks don't happen to like. Those babies are being murdered in the womb now. As a believer, the issue for me is not to continue to try and find and vote for pro-life candidates. The issue for me is to stand up and say that abortion is murder and it needs to be stopped immediately. There is no such thing as gradualism on this subject. How many more thousands of unborn children are we going to sacrifice to this idea of gradualism? Well, we'll overturn it in time. How about Christians stand up and say, no, we want it to stop today, and we're going to become activists until it does? How about that, church? Let's take that approach.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think the bigger point here too, it's not the bigger point, but at least an equivalency, is how infuriated one of your listeners, like me, I'm raising two small children, right?
Yeah.
How infuriating is it the first time your child acknowledges or intentionally lies to you? Intentionally, you know that they knew it was wrong and they did it anyway. It really breaks the heart of a parent that cares about their child to see their child pulling in the ways of the world into the home. That beautiful innocence, that sweet honey that is a child, losing their innocence to the world again. You know, it's just so sad. And that's how Jesus looks at us. We're his children. And every time we break his covenants, He's sad. And the pain that we're feeling, this awkward feeling in the world right now, it's something's just not right. That's Jesus. He's grieving because he knows what's coming.
Yeah, absolutely right. There are so many things that are upside down in our world today. Certainly right here in America, so many issues and things that we could touch on, they're just upside down. It's we're living in those days where folks are calling good evil and evil good. Most folks just accept things on the surface. They don't do any digging to find out if what they're reading or the information they're being presented is accurate. One of the things that I'd like to touch on, Chris, today before we conclude this conversation, I want to encourage people to go out, regardless of where you're at, on the position of refugee resettlement, or as I've referred to in the past, the immigrant invasion. However you view this, I would encourage you to go out to this site, Refugee Resettlement Watch. Refugee Resettlement Watch, and I think it's a WordPress site, so it'd be .wordpress.
It is. It's a great site. Yeah. Wow, it's just chock full.
Chock full of stuff. Well, one of the things that I've been looking at for the past couple of months, and I just happened upon it. I don't know why I didn't know this sooner, but a couple of months ago, I became aware that the top 9 organizations that are advocating for immigrant Syrian and Middle East immigration, and that usually means, as we are all well aware, that means Muslim immigration. Obama made it a policy to not admit Christians. Now, a few did manage to get in under the Obama administration. It's gotten a lot better under Trump, but it's still woefully inadequate. But let me just give you the names of these organizations, and you can go research them on your own, folks. Church World Service, Ethiopian Community Development Council, Episcopal Migration Ministries, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and that to me, and I'm going to pick on them, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, International Rescue Committee, U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and World Relief Corporation. Now, I mentioned all of those because those are the 9 top organizations that are advocating for this immigrant resettlement, as it's often called. But what folks don't know is this. This is why I'm bringing it up, is that these organizations are actually paid by taxpayer funds. You and I are actually funding these organizations to bring in and resettle immigrants. And this one organization, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, you would think that if anybody would understand the dangers of radical Islam, it would be a Hebrew Aid Society. But these people are doing it for the money. According to the most recent Form 990, which organizations such as this have to file, and this is for the year 2016, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society received from the U.S. government grants totaling, you ready, $24,493,763 from taxpayers. That is a tragedy. Our money, folks, our tax money going to these contractors, it's just absolutely astounding to me, Chris, that this is going on right under our noses. Now, the Catholic bishops and the Lutheran organization, they're just as bad, but I don't think they get quite that much money. I'm still looking for that data, but it is, folks, it is in the millions and millions of dollars. Don't think for a second that these organizations, now they may have the nice, glossy, fluffy commercials and propaganda pieces about compassion, and that's what Christians should do. This is really about the money. They get a certain amount of money per person to bring them in and get them settled in a city someplace in America. It's all about the money. It's another Judas syndrome, if you ask me, Chris.
Yeah, it is interesting that you pull this up. I read a 2015 Breitbart report about the immigrant refugee resettlement program, and there are some striking pieces of information in this. I would say that they report $1,850 per refugee. That's the revenue from this program. Wow. So that's quite a handsome little payout there, up to $2,200 for each refugee by participating in the USDHHS program, known as the matching grant. So they're getting an additional $2,200 on top of this. And the numbers just go on. And then if you go to what Mike suggested, the Refugee Resettlement Watch, Mike, I want to share a couple of numbers here able to pull as well, just from your recommendation here. So refugees and successful asylum seekers are trafficking victim visa holders, Cuban Haitian entrants, which are mostly Cuban, SIVs for Iraqis and Afghanis, and other smaller humanitarian admission groups are eligible for all federal, state, and local welfare programs 30 days after arrival. Refugee access to welfare on the same basis as a U.S. citizen has made the program a global magnet. Yep. Those programs include the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, Medicaid, food stamps, public housing, supplemental security income, Social Security disability insurance, and on and on and on. Yeah. I don't even need to go over this now. The welfare, this is the last thing I'll add, use is staggering among these refugees. Welfare usage is never counted by officials as a part of the cost of the program, yet when it's included, the total cost of the refugee program soars to at least 10 to 20 billion a year. So the real numbers of this are so costly, and they'll make their arguments, but they're so costly. There is something else going on here, and I believe the goal of this is to demoralize the American way of life, to lower the labor rates, and to continue to tear down any power, class, or resistance that could ultimately ruin their political plans.
Yes. Yeah,
that seems to be happening. That Hebrew, what did you call it? The Hebrew resettlement?
Yes. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society.
Yeah, you know, that sounds a lot like a Soros organization.
It
really does, because everything he names, there's a site I use to know these things, but everything that he names has exactly the opposite name of what it does. For instance, he's got one called the Immigrant Worker Citizen Project. This open borders organization advocates for mass immigration. So the names mislead people. This sounds like Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the father of lies.
That's right.
Really, really strange.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point, Chris. It is very much sleight of hand, giving it a, of course, our legislators, our senators and congressmen have figured out that that's a good way to get bills passed, too. They name it just the exact opposite of what it is. And people say, oh, that sounds like a great thing to do. And actually, it's just the opposite. So people are pretty gullible. But so the point that we're making here, folks, is not that we should be cold-hearted and not compassionate. What we're saying is that we need to be wise stewards of everything that the Lord has given us here as a nation, and that includes immigration. No one has a right to come into this country and to do the things that we see occurring and increasingly occurring. No one has a right to immigrate to America. Now, if America was as bad as what everybody in the Middle East seems to think, the Muslims and the Arabs, then they wouldn't be sending all of their folks over here. I mean, that is a no-brainer. That's folks should understand that right from the get-go. If America is this great Satan, then why are we receiving all these people? Well, as Chris pointed out, it is to undermine Americans, our morale, our way of life, to create a permanent poverty, welfare class of people that are dependent upon the government, and that will vote for those that continue to provide these benefits. That's the bottom line, and it plays very nice into Soros and all of these other open border organizations. That's what they're trying to do, is destroy America. Now, as soon as you say things like that, Chris, people think, oh, yeah, they do the eye roll and all of this. But clearly that is the plan, and Soros and his ilk have made no secret of that, have they?
No, and the real truth here is that when we talk about these things, we kind of, you know, I don't know if we're loose lips about it, but we have spent so much time doing the research over the years that we've looked at the entire system globally and ours here at home and looked at the money. Always follow the money. Where's the money? There's the problem. Where's the power? There's the problem. Yeah. And if you find those places, you start to find the truth behind everything that's happening. You know, it's just like this. I've been surprised at the public in some ways, but some of the public gets it, that as we've watched the news over the past, let's say, 3 months, we'll just pick 3 months, but we could go back a year. Every time something comes up that captures the attention of the country, and then an investigation starts, and we're going to uncover criminal behavior at the top where people are clearly lining their pockets and doing deviant things that are immoral and unethical and illegal, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, we're worried about North Korea again for a week.
Right, yeah.
And so we've got this game of, well, I guess you'd call it continental tennis going on, where every time something is about to reveal the truth, our attention is diverted to an asteroid or an eclipse or the NFL, or then it's back to North Korea. Oh, by the way, here's something going on overseas in this other area.
Yeah.
And then after a week, you know, it's kind of dying down, the chatter's gone, it comes back home again. And it's just so sweet to watch it all happen because, you know, if you pay attention to this enough, you're being lied to.
That's right. Yeah.
So when the news is happening in the east, my theory is look west. Yeah. It's happening south, look north, because the truth is in the opposite direction.
Amen. Amen. Now, you know what? That's a good point to end on, Chris. We'll just leave it at that. And folks, I think we're going to do this again. I can't promise you that it's going to be on a regularly scheduled basis, but Chris, I've had a real enjoyable time just chatting with you and just having a free-flowing conversation about things that are in the news. And folks, I hope that you've been encouraged. And listen, we mentioned those websites for a reason. Go out there and check it out, the information that they have, and put it to use. Print it off. Pass it around. Inform your neighbors and your family or coworkers. I think all of you probably have someone who thinks this kind of conversation or this kind of information is just crazy. So inform them, educate them, and win them over, persuade them to the side of truth. That's what we want to do here. So, Chris, any last words?
Yeah, I would just encourage them to do exactly as you said. One other website that I find useful is geopolitics.co. Geopolitics.co. It's a fantastic place to get some history. I'm not saying all the articles in there. You know, there's obviously some anti-American spin in some of the articles. So I'm imagining this is a European or somewhere else it's written. However, on the left-hand side of the homepage, you can find out about the Khazarian mafia history, technocracy and scientific dictatorship, which we're facing right now, central banking, the war machine, and everything else that's going on. I think that it's a great foundational starting point for understanding how to see the news through your own lens and then apply it to the Bible and what you're learning there and how they may be connected. So I think that's you got to get that start somewhere.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, folks, drop us a note. Let us know what you think of this format. And if it's something you'd like to hear more of, just give us a shout out. Chris, where can they reach you?
Yeah, they can send an email to chris@homegrownprepper.com. I still have that website up, and I'll be looking for anybody that wants to message me. But if you don't, it's great. I've enjoyed the conversation and two brothers in Christ here sharing, you know, what we're seeing out here and trying to make sure everyone sees and hears what's going on so you know what to do about it.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, that's it for this episode. God bless you all. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter @SoaringEagleRad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.SoaringEagleRadio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.